her in the side with a laser blast that seared through inside her intestines. But in the process, they also chose two of their own with the same shot. For in-close fighting, when the laser blasters became unwieldy by their size, it was a simple matter for the Amazons to use their blades to carve up the Sekhmen. Christy joined them, using the blade she'd been given by Margia. She swung the cutting edge through the air in short, jagged arcs that wounded rather than killed, but softened up the opposition so that it was easy to chill them without the risk of injury being returned. Finally, the Amazons stood in pools of blood and mounds of mangled flesh and bone.
One group down. Bring on the next.
That's okay, but we should still go triple red.
The auburn-curled Amazon looked askance at Christy. She could see the woman's Titian hair was curled close to her head and knew what that meant.
Hey, is that just because we're in combat, or is there something serious just around the corner?
Christy licked her upper lip, listening to the rhythms and feelings inside her.
Maybe a bit of both, but more because we're going to run into some trouble soon. An ambush, maybe.
Okay, I'll listen to you any day, girl. Guess the best thing to do is search it out before it finds us. Take the fuckers by storm. So which way does your feely sense say it's lurking for us?
It tells me that it's around that corner there.
Well, I guess it'd make more sense to head the other direction, but hellfire and damnation, we gotta get rid of these fuckers anyway.
Following the Auburn warrior, Christy tailed the party as it spread down the corridor toward the junction. They moved swiftly, flitting in pairs from pillar to pillar, their petite frames using the concrete supports as cover from any opposition fire. Tammy was in the lead. When she reached the last pillar, she looked back at Christy. Her eyes flickered from side to side, mutely asking which direction the danger was waiting. Christy indicated to the left, and Tammy nodded. The Amazon paused for a moment, weighing her options. The hallway ended in a T. Across from her stood another pillar. It would provide cover if she could bridge the gap swiftly enough. However, the cover would only work if she landed on the right side, the one sheltered from possible enemy attack. Christy closed her eyes for a moment. She concentrated her senses. If she made the wrong call here, she was almost certainly condemning Tammy to death. Suddenly opening her eyes, she locked her gaze onto Tammy's and flicked her pupils to the left. With a brief nod, Tammy turned away and flung herself across the gap so that she'd land on the right-hand side of the pole, sheltered from possible attack. It was a beautifully executed dive and tumble that propelled the woman across the space. She was fast, but maybe not fast enough. As Tammy rolled, she was almost clipped by a motorcycle's wheels. The bike suddenly roared and leapt across the gap. A lone rider, clad in a black one-piece suit with a laser blaster across her back, traversed the gap too quickly for any of the stunned gate to take a shot at her.
What the fuck?
Tammy flattened against the wall. She was now on the wrong side for the pillar to provide any defense, as the rider had crossed over. For a split second, the two faced each other. Tammy could see the fear and hatred in the long-haired blonde rider's light blue eyes. She was a large woman, with a hooked nose and a strong, prominent jaw. The Alpha bike suddenly rose, front wheel in the air.
Ah, shit!
Tammy's brain raced. If she was to be squashed against the wall, then the rider would also be chilled as she'd ride full speed into the pillar. Tammy would have to run for it. That was obviously what the rider wanted.
Fuck it!
Tammy stayed her ground, leveling her blaster as the bike neared. The rider suddenly veered away at the last moment, and Tammy followed the line of the turn as her blaster came up. The shot caught the blonde on the right temple, boring a small hole just above her hairline. The exit wound was larger and messier, spreading bone, blood, and brain across the corridor.
Fuck.
Christy and the others were already in the hall, checking the direction in which the rider had originally come. It was empty.
She must have been a lone scout. A brave warrior. I hope her chilling was quick.
Seems so.
Christy glanced up and down the corridor and could feel her hair relax.
Guess that's the immediate danger dealt with.
Good. We need to get on. Try to link up with the others. If they're doing as we are, then the objective should be in sight.
Let's hope so.
Mildred's party had made its way down the service stairs and out into the corridor beyond. Tapping in the SEC code to open the door, Mildred was uneasy at how quiet the descent had been. Leaving cover to survey and take up defensive positions in the corridor beyond, her unease had grown to a kind of jumpiness.
What the hell are they doing? They must know we're here.
Playing the waiting game, Nandy.
They lay off, drawing us farther and farther into the open and into their territory. We get more and more tense until we make mistakes and become easy meat.
Shit. But we can't just stay here.
That's why it's such a good plan, girl.
The party began to advance. The concrete tunnel's walls were painted white, and the harsh fluorescent lighting above seemed to do nothing more than starkly highlight them against the emptiness of the space. Mildred hoped that something would happen soon. Her nerves were stretched taut, and the adrenaline coursing through her veins made her guts churn with the need for release. There was a T-junction a few hundred feet ahead. Nandi looked back at Mildred and gestured with her blaster at each side of the junction, indicating her belief that any ambush would lay beyond. Mildred moved forward until she was beside the woman.
We need to see if there's anyone there and on which side to draw their fire. No way can we wreck without losing who's ever fool enough to volunteer.
Question is, Mildred, how do we draw that fire?
Mildred rummaged around in her jacket pockets. Despite its apparent clumsiness in a firefight, she had opted to keep the jacket with her because it contained her spare ammo, some medical supplies, and a few things JB had given her.
Now this may just do the trick.
She smiled, producing a small canister that she held out, cradled in the palm of her hand.
What the fuck is that?
Shh! It's a distress flare. It came from one of the redoubts we were in a long time back. It's not as big as the usual distress flare, and what the hell use it is if you're stuck somewhere, I don't know. But that's not why it's going to be useful right now, is it?
I guess not. So, which way do we send it?
Just watch.
Mildred left the Amazon behind the concrete pillar and edged forward to where the junction began. She pulled the pin on the flare. She tossed it to the right, a deft flick of the wrist taking the flare on a spinning, wide arc. A laser blast aimed at the object missed.
Shit!
Instead, it hit a point where a concrete support met the ceiling, flaking the white paint and blackening the surface.
Well, well, what do you know? There they are. All we've got to do is get them.
But how, Mildred?
Well,
what the hell's going on?
What was going on was the arrival of Dean and his Amazon party. Having made their way through into the service ducts with ease, it was then difficult to find a service grill through which they could get out and into the redoubt itself. The boy figured that they were extraordinarily lucky to get as far as they had so quickly, and with few obstacles. That luck came to an end. The service duct was tight and dark, and seemed to stretch on into infinity, a twisting, winding maze that showed no light ahead. Dean led his party onward, his muscles aching and cramped after the constriction of the service duct. He fought against the growing sense of claustrophobia and hoped that the women to the rear weren't suffering from the same problem.
Holy shit, how come there isn't an exit?
He came to a point where two ducts crossed. Stopping, he looked ahead and to each side. To the left, there was a filtered ray of light.
Thank God.
It looked to be a good 5 minutes away, and there was no way of knowing where it would bring them out. Taking a deep, decisive breath, the young Carter headed off toward the light, knowing that the rest of the party would be following. It was a trip that seemed all the slower and more torturous, because there was now an end in sight. But eventually they made it to the grill. He looked through it.
Oh, great. This is just what we need.
About 20 yards to the left was a group of SEC men ensconced behind a metal and plastic barrier. Their attention was focused ahead of them, so they hadn't heard or seen what was going on behind the grill. Dean could see that the grate would be easily dislodged. But would they all be able to clear it before the SEC force had a chance to turn and attack? Mildred's flare suddenly lit up the corridor outside and drew some fire from the soldiers.
Shit!
In the intense light, Dean cast a quick glance back at the Amazons. Their faces, hungry for battle, told him all he needed to know. While the enemy's attention was distracted, Dean twisted his body and kicked at the grill. Dean quickly tumbled out, followed by the women. Their reactions were sharper than the illuminated ones. They began firing before some of the enemy even began to move. It was then that Dean saw Mildred, over the top of the barrier, come charging around a blind corner at the head of her own party of Amazons. Doc's war was just as he had expected, hard. A war of attrition, rather than swift movement. Once out of the elevator, his party dug into the hallway beyond and were as firmly entrenched as their enemy. Blasts of laser fire and stray shots were exchanged, but a stalemate had been reached. Doc was secreted behind a pillar on the opposite side of the corridor to Margia, and he looked across.